So, who has the first song that they'd like to sing here? Number one? Okay, well, that's an easy one to find and an easy one to start with here. A little talk with Jesus, how it smooths the rugged road, how it seems to help me onward, where beneath my load. When my heart is crushed with sorrow,
cleansing blood. Say preferably not everyone all at once. Oh, did you have one? Okay. 88? Did you want to sing the donkey song? Okay. Can you remember your number? We'll sing the donkey song and then we'll sing yours. Okay. So we'll sing the donkey song.
There once was a wild little donkey. He had to be tied to a tree. And Jesus was thinking about him. He said, "Go and bring him to me." And when they had brought him to Jesus, as quickly as ever they could, that restless, that wild little donkey was quiet, obedient, and good. Was riding up on him. He went just the way that he should. A quiet, submissive wee donkey, made so by the blessed Son of God. And Jesus is able to make you
got confused who gave it out, but I remember the song. Okay. My wife walked down the aisle to me to get married to this hymn. So It's occupies a special place in my heart. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail.
Amen.
concept.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
This is my story.
And number 187, this will be the last one. 187. When peace like a river attendeth my grave, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
and their love.
Well, we just sang it, but I trust that's true of all of us. It's well with our soul. You know, we sang in that one verse there, and this has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, but I couldn't pass this up, that at the last verse there, it says, the trumps shall resound. You know what that trump is? It's a reference to the Roman soldiers. There were four trumpets. When the Romans went in to march or went to go to battle, there were four trumpets. The first one was to call them to know that they were going to battle. The second was to drop their tents. The third was to line up. The last one was to move out. The fourth trump is what Paul's talking about. Young people want to do something interesting sometime. Go through Paul's epistles and see how many references he makes to the Romans. Why? Who occupied the world? The Romans, right? It's just amazing. Some old fella did that one time. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 12 of the book of Romans, please. I want to look at a verse there. I'm going to go through some words in particular with this verse, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I want to read verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want to just make a comment on some words here. Be not conformed to this world. You know what conformed is to be made like something, and we're not to be made like the world. But why? Because the world is everything against Christ. Who's the prince of the world? Satan. Who's the antagonist for Christ? Satan. So we're not to be conformed to the world. And then it says, be ye transformed, that is changed, by the renewing of your mind. Now that word renewing means what happens after you're really, really, really tired and you just drop on the bed, the floor, whatever, and you're gone. And then you wake up. You have been renewed. That's the thought in that word, is that you've just totally made a great change. And all of you that have been tired enough to hardly stay on your feet and collapsed, literally, on a bed, chair, or anything, like I said, a flea on the floor, then you know what it is when you wake up. You're changed, you're renewed. But on my heart tonight is the word mind. What does that mean? The renewing of your mind. What about our mind? Now, if you'll turn, I'm going to be flipping to some verses. So Luke chapter 8, I want to come up with some adjectives to describe the mind. So let's look at the first one in Luke chapter 8. This is one part of what the word mind here entails. So Luke chapter 8. In a verse there. And we'll look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. And we're familiar with this portion. I'm not going to read the whole portion. I'm just going to take one verse in each case to make it short. 35. Then went they out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Well, here it's a right mind. That's one of the things that should characterize our mind, is that it's a right mind. It's in the right thoughts. It's in the right way. A right mind. And then over to Acts for another mind. Another characteristic, the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. This, again, it should be a familiar portion to us, but we'll just take the single verse. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, this is a second characteristic of what your mind and my mind should be. First of all, it should be a right mind. It should be, as we find here, a ready mind. Now, the ready here means acceptance of what comes before you, ready to take hold of it, a desire, a wanting. Acts chapter 20, just over a couple of pages, we'll get another mind here. And verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in weight of the Jews. Well, here is a humility of mind. You know, if we have a mind that refuses what God through the Spirit brings before it, that's certainly not a humility of mind. That's a resistance of the mind. So we have a right mind, a ready mind, and here we have a mind of humility, or a humbled mind. 2 Corinthians, for another mind. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Here's a willing mind. Now this is a... It's important to have a willing mind, not a mind of resistance. And here in the context, it's a willing mind in connection with what you and I give back to the Lord. Is it a willing mind? Or is it a mind that is saying, well, I have to do this? Is it a mind that's saying, I want to do this because I'm going to get blessed for it, in the context that we're looking here? Do we have a willing mind? Do we have a mind that wants to take in all that the Spirit of God can give us, or just certain parts of it? We want to have a willing mind. 2 Timothy, another mind, another characteristic of our mind. Paul just can use the word mind, but it's a little more extensive than just the word. So, in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Sound. The word sound here is not auditory. The word sound here means something of stability and firmness and support. It's like the pillars underneath a bridge. They're there to make that bridge sound, firm, not going to give way. And so we're to have a sound mind. And then, last of all, I want to go to Philippians. For a verse, Philippians chapter 2, and verse 5, Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. let this mind. You know that word let there implies that there needs to be some responsibility on our part. The mind that we would have spiritually is not obtained by osmosis. I trust we're all old enough to know what osmosis is. A sponge put down on a bit of water by osmosis pulls the water up into the sponge. Now, some people think that's how we get spiritual things. I go to meeting and I sit and I listen, and it's just going to kind of come into my mind and my heart and my soul. This says let. There's a responsibility. You have to make an effort. In spiritual things, we have a responsibility. The moment we're saved, our side of it is we're responsible. Responsible for what? Responsible for all that God would give us. And brethren, we cannot exhaust all that He can give us. It's like the iceberg. You and I have maybe 10%. The other 90% down below. And as we traverse our pathway here on this earth, most of us don't get beyond the 10% of all that He has for us. And maybe that's good. Why? Because the other 90% we're going to get in the glory. He's going to reveal to us everything that He had for us. But wouldn't it be nice to enjoy it now? Let this mind be in you. What kind of a mind? A right mind. A ready mind. A humble mind. A sound mind. A healthy mind. That's what He wants for you and I. And so here we find, let this mind be in you. And if you want to find the depth of that mind, it's the same one that Christ had. What have we had before us in the reading meetings? The Father, the Son, speaking to one another. What kind of a mind do we see brought out in the 17th of John? It was a mind that delighted in the Father. A mind that enjoyed every aspect that could be brought up in connection with the Father. That's the kind of mind He would have for you and I. To be in the enjoyment of it. How do we get that mind? The affections. It isn't the mental mind. It's the affection side. Because once the Lord lays hold of our affections, then He's got what He wanted. He wanted worshipers. You can't worship if you don't love. And if you love, it comes from here, not here. I think many Christians have missed the mark by, they say, 18 inches. They're here. They didn't get down here. Because once the Lord Jesus captures your affections and mine, then our mind will be in the right position so that we can enjoy everything that the Spirit of God brings to us. And we will be enlarged, and our enjoyment will be without ceasing. How'd the Bereans do it? They searched the Scriptures daily. I know a lot of Christians that don't even pick up their Bible daily. They don't read daily. How are we going to have a mind like Christ if we don't take the time? And oftentimes we don't take the time because our affections are short. They're not to the depths that they need to be. So that Christ is everything to us.